Paranormal Truth and Reality with host Chris Houston. A show for those with a passion for the paranormal. And now, welcome to the show.
Welcome to Paranormal Truth and Reality. I'm your host, Christopher Houston. We're here with a very special guest tonight, Lance Eberhardt. Lance actually had a very unique and slightly scary haunted experience that's been featured on Dead Files and several other areas, actually. Welcome, Lance.
Hey, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time for us. So let's just start from the beginning and tell us all about it. Just start wherever you want to run.
Wow. You know, it's a lot of stuff. You know, it's one of the things that we always say about the show is that it was very difficult to put our whole story into, 47 minutes. We live in a very small town outside of Kansas City, a town called Kearney, Missouri. And we've moved here in 2008. And we live on a small horse farm, a little over 15 acres, and we live in a very rural setting. And, the house that we live in is relatively old. The history of the area is a very violent history. The Clay County, for your listeners who aren't familiar with this part of the country or this part of Missouri, Clay County was considered Little Dixie in the Civil War. Kearney, Missouri, is the birth and burial place of the outlaw Jesse James. So the best way to say this is that, a lot of unsavory characters came through this part of the country, and a lot of violent activity. Before the Civil War, during the Civil War, and after the Civil War, and this part of the country, or this, Clay County, it wasn't really an organized battle like what you saw in the rest of the Civil War. It was a lot of guerrilla warfare. It was a lot of what would be even today considered terrorist attacks. So that's one of the things that really attracted me to the area when we moved here. Things started happening pretty much right away when we moved in, and it started happening with our oldest daughter. She kept saying she heard voices. She would hear, people, she would see people. There would be people banging on the windows, saying, "Let us in, let us in." And, as responsible parents, the first thing you think of is this, "Oh my gosh, my kid has some kind of psychological disorder." And we took her to the therapist and to psychiatrist. And of course, all they're going to do is really just try to prescribe medicine and try to talk to you and talk to them, kind of work through all this stuff. And, we did all that and nothing changed. It just kind of started to ramp up. She wasn't sleeping. She, was having some health issues. She kept saying that she kept hearing things. And for the longest time, I didn't believe. I was a skeptic very much from the beginning, and things just kind of ramped up from there. There's just so many other things that happened to us where things started to turn violent. When things really picked up was when I would go down in our basement and I would get locked in our basement. The door would slam. Things started flying through the air, and we heard a woman screaming like she was just hurt, like she was just, kind of hard to describe, like a blood-curdling scream. So, and those things started happening when other people were here. So there were other people that were also experiencing and hearing these things as they were happening. So just so many different things. I mean, it would be just, I could probably talk for days about every single thing that happened. And after we did the show, we got a lot of questions, obviously. In this day and age, it's very easy to find people. And, we were just getting bombarded with questions. And, part of the reason why we agreed to even start sharing our story was to, you know, help others. And it was getting impossible to answer them all. So that's one reason why we started the blog.
Yeah, to kind of fill in the gaps. And I always admire people like yourself coming from the experience that when I was a child and growing up and we ended up selling our home, we had a very, very haunted home that I can't even explain. There were so many things that happened that were just so startling. You know, it takes a lot to do what you did.
You know, it does. You know, the first question that people always ask is like, well, why didn't you just move? Well, it's very difficult just to pack up and move. And you got to have a place to go. You got to try to sell the place you're in. I mean, we had a mortgage. You know, the mortgage company doesn't care whether or not your house is haunted. They want their money. And, you know, when you take into consideration, like I said, you know, we live on 15 acres. We live on a horse farm. So, you know, my wife is a dog breeder. So you just can't pack up and take all these animals wherever. So you kind of got to go through all these things and you know, you got to take all those things into consideration, and that's really tough. So, you know, I hear that a lot, and I've talked to other, you know, clients who have been on the show, and, you know, they get bombarded with that. Why didn't you just move? Well, you can't just pack up and move. And it's very difficult. And when you're experiencing something like this, what a lot of people don't understand is this, the emotional trauma, the physical trauma, it just drains you. So you're not really of sound mind, and it takes a while to get over that. It's taken us a while.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I still, in the period in time that I lived in my place, I still deal with that. And here it's 23 years later, give or take. So I can imagine. And my experience subsided differently than yours. So you have a really in-depth story, and we're going to get into some details on that. But even reviewing, I saw you on the show originally, and even reviewing the show afterwards, because I watched it again last night, your family went through a lot of turmoil, tough situations. And it's never easy to go through those. And being able to realize that you can't logically explain them just makes it a lot tougher on you, especially you, because you're trying to keep your family together. You're trying to help your wife. You're trying to be there for your children. And you start off skeptical, but when you can't explain this anymore, it becomes, what do I do? How do I stop this?
Exactly. And, you know, you get to the point where you can't explain silverware flying through the air. You can't explain that all of a sudden you just hear a scream, and you can't explain those things away. You know, there's no logical explanation for it. You know, doors slamming and you hear footsteps, you know, knives flying across the kitchen and stabbing into the wall. Those are things you can't explain. And, you know, one of the things that we started to do was we started to watch the paranormal shows. We were trying to get an idea of, okay, well, maybe let's watch some of these shows. Maybe some people have been experiencing similar things. Maybe we can kind of get an idea of what's going on, because we had no clue what to do. And we reached out to, you know, our church, and what we got back was, well, you know, you need to pray, you need to read the Bible. And, you know, basically it's kind of like, well, you know, they didn't believe us. You know, it was like, well, the only person that can ever rise from the dead was Jesus Christ. And I was just like, okay, but can you just come and bless the house? And we couldn't even convince the church to do it.
That's not a surprise. I know that I've heard that actually many, many times. There's a lot of doubt in the churches. I was lucky, and I actually had a pastor come out to mine. He referred me to somebody else, but ultimately it scared them away because they couldn't explain it. But I've heard that. I've had many, many people like yourself on from time to time to explain their story, and skepticism becomes a really big thing. A lot of people, especially when you come out, a lot of people tend to look at you like, yeah, right, whatever. So it's never easy, but you need the help. You know, you have to find an avenue and an explanation, and that's the toughest part. So ghost stories, yeah, a lot of times when you're watching TV, I don't know what you got off of it personally, but when I started to get into it, I realized very quickly that a lot of those stories didn't tell me squat.
Yes, exactly. You know, we got to the point where, okay, you know, Ghost Adventures just kind of turned into this theatrical, you know, chase, let's document stuff. And I didn't need to document stuff. You know, I know what's happening. I got to just figure out what it is. How do I get rid of it? How do I deal with it? And that was kind of the scariest part. And, you know, we had some bad experiences. We had a terrible experience with a paranormal investigation team. And, you know, kind of backtracking a bit, you know, one of the things when we were watching the shows, we were watching the Dead Files, and we thought, okay, this is not really this hocus pocus, let's go find, you know, and catch something on video. You know, it was more, all right, let's do some research. Let's figure out what's going on. Maybe things, the history of your property can be tied into what, you know, Amy is seeing, you know, and then we can come up with a solution. Uh-huh. And my wife, she originally, you know, when we were trying to get the Dead Files to help us, it was very difficult. They didn't have a very good avenue to submit your case. And, you know, my wife just Google searched the Dead Files submission, and we found a page, and it was said the Dead Files. And, I mean, it looked legit, and we submitted our story. Well, it turned out that wasn't a legitimate website. And we got contacted by a paranormal team. They told us that they worked with the Dead Files, that they were a scout team, because obviously the Dead Files doesn't want to waste their time if there's nothing there. So, I mean, not knowing anything, you know, we said, yeah, okay, well, that makes sense. You know, we weren't used to dealing with shows or anything like that. So they came out. They took about 2.5 hours to set everything up. You know, things kind of really started to click right away. Activity really picked up. And at the time, we felt like a lot of the activity was centered in the basement. So we're sitting in the basement, and they take me down there. And we're all kind of sitting in a circle, and I just feel really uneasy. You know, first of all, this is a very old house. It's dark in that basement. It's like a dungeon. And it's at night. And, you know, one of the investigators, they're holding a tape recorder, and they're talking questions. It said, are you here? You know, and then I remember it vividly. One of the things that she said, she goes, I command you to identify yourself or show yourself. And right when she said that, I just felt this breath on the back of my neck. And all of a sudden, like somebody just clawed the back of my neck. And I immediately jumped up, took off running. I was getting out of there. They stopped me, shined a flashlight on the back of my neck, and I had just a gouge on the back of my neck. It drew blood. And I went back upstairs, calmed myself, and, you know, they went back down the basement. They kind of were asking more questions. They were getting all kinds of readings on their instruments, and they asked me if I would go back down there. And I said, sure. And they had a medium with them. And I said, well, I'm only going down there if she goes down there with me. And so she went down there. And as soon as we got down there, it was just the heaviest of air. And it was just, you know, like pressure. Like when you go too deep in the swimming pool, you can feel that, you know, that pressure. Uh-huh. And I remember I wasn't feeling good. I kept saying, I am not feeling well. I'm not feeling well. I'm not feeling well. And she had her hand on my chest, and I remember her saying prayers, the medium. And the next thing I know, I wake up on the floor, and I'm just thinking I passed out. And I just calmly get up, and I just walk. I go up the stairs. I get out of the basement, and everyone else was freaking out. I mean, they were just hysterical, you know, kind of scared. And I just walk out the basement, and Jennifer was the first one to meet me. And she just said, oh my gosh, are you okay? And I said, yeah, I'm fine. What's going on? And I mean, she goes, we were watching you. you were literally picked up off of the ground and thrown up against the wall. And I said, wow, I don't remember any of it. I just thought I passed out. And she goes, no, you were physically lifted up, like somebody grabbed your shoulders and your arms and just picked you up and just threw you. And then that team, they went back down, and the head guy went back down, and we're all standing up in the basement. We're standing up in where they set up in the garage, and the head guy comes up on the radio, and he goes, okay, we need to pack it up. It's not safe here. We got to leave. And my wife was just going, no. You're just not going to pack up and leave. You're not going to just piss this stuff off, make it worse, and leave. And so we forced them to do a cleansing. And again, you know, we're novice. We didn't know anything, you know, and we thought everything was going to be nice. And as we're talking to the team leader in the kitchen, you know, the meeting was very uneasy. And she was standing next to us, and I could just see the look on her face, like something's not right. But the leader was talking to us and kind of, you know, showing off. And he goes, well, this is just a very extreme case. And all of a sudden, the light above us in the kitchen just got really bright and then exploded. So, and that was pretty much, they were done. they left in a hurry. And we tried for like 2 weeks to contact them to, hey, tell us what you found. I mean, what was it? Do you know what it is? And, you know, are we going to get help from somebody at, you know, the Dead Files? And they said, well, we couldn't find anything conclusive that shows you're haunted. And then they actually started to blame us for our problems, which was just terribly insulting. You know,
I can imagine.
We reached out to them for help. Exactly. And, you know, that just kind of left a worse taste in our mouth. Because after they basically pissed this stuff off, things started to get worse for us. You know, health issues left and right. You know, insomnia. We couldn't sleep. You know, kids were sick all the time. You know, we're dragging. We're kind of zombies. We're in a daze.
Well, yeah, because rather than help you, they fed the situation, and now it's going to feed off of you. that's not a good thing for an investigation team to do. I'm actually glad you brought that up, because listeners will get an aspect of how sometimes these people that go out into the homes, they really don't respect the fact that it's all about the family. It's supposed to be about helping you. You're in a situation that's scary, for crying out louds. Provoking that while you're in there and then leaving you helpless is not a good way to go.
it was not good, you know, because things started to pick up. The activity started to pick up. The attack started to pick up. You know, Jennifer would wake up with just scratches all over her body. And, you know, the kids were in constant fear. You know, we were sleeping in the living room. You know, because we were just really too scared to be anywhere else in the house. And the back room where our oldest daughter was, we just kind of almost just, we didn't do anything with it. No one slept in there. No one went in there. You know, no one went in there by themselves. No one went into the basement by themselves. You know, you kind of become paranoid, you know, hypersensitive, I guess, you know, to anything that happens, you know, because you're just so emotionally drained.
No, I know at one point this presented itself to your children a lot. As you started to progress, to my understanding from what you could share, it took on kind of another form. It wanted to attack you and your family and everybody involved. Did that happen shortly after that? I mean, did it start to literally come after you to the point to where you knew that it was there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I remember one time sleeping, sound asleep. I felt somebody grab my ankles and just pull me. And it literally pulled me halfway off of the bed. And I'm a pretty decent sized guy. I mean, it takes a lot to, if I don't want to move, it's going to take a lot for you to move me. So, and, you know, this, when things started, it was started, you know, when things kind of would fly through the air, they would just go randomly anywhere. But now they were starting to fly through the air at somebody. And I was cut by a knife that was flying through the air right in my arm. And it was a pretty serious cut. I still have the scar to this day. And, you know, the kids, especially our two younger kids, they started seeing, you know, people, bodies, of people, you know, Emmy, especially, she would see, you know, a crying girl, little girl. She would see a guy walking through the house that she described wearing a flannel shirt. You know, Heidi was saying the same thing, that she was seeing people. Our oldest daughter said that, you know, she went into her room right after she took a shower. And there, she said there was a woman sitting on her bed. And she just screamed and she ran out of the room. And we go in there and there's nobody there. But there was an imprint of somebody. You could see that there were somebody actually was sitting on the bed.
Hmm. That's amazing. At one point, you started to track down specific individuals. Like you're saying, you saw a man in a flannel shirt. You saw a little girl crying. According to the shows, you picked up a woman at one point, or a lady that was involved in this. And there were some images that would show up that were a little bit darker. Am I correct?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one time she would project herself being kind of very nice, very, and then the next thing you know, she kind of had that very dark, you know, very tall, and just an evil feeling. And you know, there were times I would be sitting on the dining room table just eating, and Jennifer was standing maybe 5 feet from me, and then all of a sudden, I just get slapped in the face, and it left a handprint on my face. And it was just, there were just so many things. And when, you know, you physically start getting attacked, and when you can't turn around and fight the person. There was a time I was out in the barn, and I was just filling up water troughs for horses. And I'm just standing there, just waiting for the troughs to fill. And I hear this guy, he goes, "Hey, I wasn't done yet." And I turn around, and there's a guy standing right there. You know, he was wearing clothes that looked like they were too big. I mean, I could see him clear as day. That's a very uneasy feeling, and I just took off. I just took off running back to the house, left the water running, and it took me a while to calm down. And we go back out there, and obviously there's nothing there.
Interesting. And this lady, she becomes pretty graphic in the story from the way they portray it. Almost as if she wanted to physically attack you, as one example from the way they portray it, and also go about your family. Am I correct?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that we found out is that we always thought that I was the source. You know, I was not the source, but I was the one that was being attacked. But what we found out is that she was infatuated with me, and I just, you know, I could hear her from time to time talk, but I would just tune her out, and that pissed her off. So she was jealous of anybody else that got my attention. She was just jealous, and she was particularly jealous of Heidi, and she didn't like that. And Heidi really took a lot of emotional abuse, you know, physical issues, health issues. You know, it was, you know, the kids missed a lot of school, because they were just sick. And when you take them to the doctor, there's just, you know, they don't have any explanation for it on why they're sick. So it kind of started to shift from me and she started to go after my kids and after my wife. And my wife experienced just a lot of health problems, gallbladder issues, thyroid issues. She started to lose her hair, just depression. You know, there were just so many things that just all of a sudden just happened. And, you know, we just didn't, there was no rhyme or reason for it. We were perfectly healthy when we moved here. And now all of a sudden, you know, we're almost to the point where we can't even function. So she was thinking, well, the best course to get him is to get rid of all these other people.
I guess, you know, it makes sense. The obsession with ghosts sometimes in a lot of stories are that if they attach themselves to one person, anybody that reacts around that person, they will lash out at. They'll also try to affect you yourself, kind of back you into a corner, make you afraid of what's going on, make you think that the only way to solve that is to allow them to be around you or try to take you over, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I felt that way. I felt backed up and painted into a corner. And, you know, it was just because you never knew what was going to be coming at you. And that just creates a state of, you know, hysteria and paranoid about it. And, you know, you just don't know what's going to happen next. And, you know, when she started to make her presence known to others, it just screams, just blood curdling screams. And that was kind of my first experience with her. You know, I was at the point, I was at that point where I didn't really believe anything that was going on. And I had my office in the basement. I'm in there working in the basement. It's dark, it's winter, and I'm in the house by myself. And all of a sudden I'm sitting at my desk, and all of a sudden the printer just starts spitting out paper. I don't really think anything of it. I just think, okay, well, something's caught up in the queue. So I turn it off. And the paper's still going. And I'm just like, okay, well, it would just need to cycle out. But it doesn't stop. Even after all the paper has gone through all the paper, it's still trying to feed stuff through. So I go to unplug it. And I reach down, I unplug it, it's still going. And I'm thinking, what is going on? And then as soon as I say that to myself, I just hear her scream. So loud, it was just echoed through the entire basement, and I lost it. I just said, oh my gosh. I mean, I could just feel the hair on my body just kind of rise up. I feel that, you know, that, you know, cringe that goes up your spine, and I took off. And I sat outside for probably close to an hour until Jennifer and the girls got home. And it was cold, too. I mean, I was wearing a t-shirt and shorts and didn't have any shoes on.
Well, it takes a lot to go through all of that. You probably weren't thinking about putting shoes on and a jacket.
No, I just wanted out of the house. That's what I wanted. I was petrified. And that was really kind of my first experience with her. And then shortly after the paranormal team left, that's when she started to scream when other people were here. And I remember when Chloe, our second oldest daughter, it was homecoming. She had a whole bunch of other girls over. They were doing hair and makeup, you know, having a good time. And then all of a sudden she just screams, two or three screams in a row, like blood curdling, I'm being stabbed type of screams. And all those girls just froze. They were like, what is that? And you know, at that point, you can't explain that one away, you know?
Yeah, I can definitely relate with that one. I had many, many people that refused to go back into my home because of the incidents that would happen in there. Though, mine wasn't as graphic at time to time. It did want to latch itself to me, whatever it was. We never figured out what it was in my case, but it was a scary situation. I got the ability somehow to learn how to live with it after a while, so I took it more as a joke, but it was just me. I didn't have a family at that point. My father had passed away, so I owned the home, and it was just me living there. So when something would fly across the room or the windows would open or the doors would slam, I'd just leave it alone. Okay, I get it. You don't want me here. Bye.
Yeah.
But when you've got a family to think about, and it's affecting the family, and it's affecting your friends, and it's affecting the relatives and everybody that comes into the home, it's a really tough thing to deal with. It really is. You can't even really explain it unless you've been through a situation like that when your friends are telling you, I don't want to go back into your home. I heard that.
You know, we even still to this day will have people that will not come over to our house. And they just, you know, flat out refuse.
That's no surprise. The residents that bought my home, they sold it to their son because the mother and father that bought the home lived in it for about 3 weeks, and then they wouldn't go back into the home. It sat there abandoned for 6 months before, because they put it up on the open market, and nobody would buy it. It had been known as haunted now. Okay, two people were in there, and the local residents would talk about it. And eventually their son and daughter bought it, but they don't even live in the home on a regular basis.
You know, it's interesting that you said that the house just sat vacant for a while. And when we bought this place, it had been vacant for about 8 months. And it had been on the market, not even one offer on the property. And I just kind of jumped on it. I mean, because here they are, we're selling this house on 15 acres, has a barn, you know, has workshops. And, you know, I'm just like, you know, for $200,000, yes, I'll buy it. You know, I didn't really care at that point. I was like, wow, this just, you know, this is great. Uh-huh. Kind of what we wanted. You know, this was our dream, you know, to have, you know, land so we could have horses and have animals. My wife could do her dog breeding business and I could be involved in other things. So, you know, we didn't know that the place had issues, and we're actually the third owners of the house.
The other, did you ever research into the past owners to find out if they had experiences similar to what you had and be able to get a hold of them?
Yeah, actually, it's interesting because the previous owners, the husband is our insurance agent. So I asked him specifically, I said, after things started happening, that's a really difficult conversation to have with somebody. You know, you just don't pick up the phone and go, hey, by the way, do you ever have knives flying across your room? You ever hear any screams? Ever have any issues? You know, so there's no really delicate way to ask that question. So I just asked him point blank. I said, look, we have some issues going on. We think the place is haunted. Did you ever experience anything? He was silent for about 2 seconds and he goes, no, I don't ever recall anything happening. And I'm like, oh, okay. So, but you know, I kind of think then, why did you leave? Why did you move out of the house? Why did the house sit vacant for like 6 months? And why were you just practically giving the house away? So I kind of think in the back of my mind, hey, they had issues. They just didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah, they're kind of being hushy-hushy on it because if they tell you that, then they feel bad about it. I hate to say that. But
yeah.
But I could see where that's the case. And then other people looking at the home, it's vacant because anybody locally looking at it, they look into the lore, they look into the legends, or they talk to other people. And then all of a sudden, oh, that house is haunted, which is why this one sat vacant for so long, because we're out in a rural area. So it takes a while for people to come out and look at the homes out here. And during that period in time, you wouldn't have people 30, 40 miles out looking. It's a decent home. It has an acre and a half of land on it. Beautiful house. But trust me, I was glad to get rid of it.
Yeah. You know, when we were talking about putting at one time, you know, we thought, all right, let's just try to sell it. Let's just get out. You know, we got enough equity in the house. Let's just try to sell it and get out. And, you know, the house is an older home. It had a lot of issues. structural issues, you know, just little nitpicking type things. And, you know, we had a really good relationship with our realtor, and we just kind of told her, hey, this is the stuff that's happening. You know, we're not sure whether or not from a legal standpoint, do we have to disclose it? And, but, you know, with hindsight, we kind of looked at it, and then, because when you move, you got to find another place to live. Uh-huh. And when you have horses, dogs, and a large family, that's difficult to do.
I want to take a really brief pause as we're talking, so everybody that came in a little bit late knows that we're on BBS Radio. BBS Radio is the largest digital radio station in the United States. If you decide to do a digital radio station, go with the best, go with BBS. And local news, the Marengo Flea Market will be open tomorrow. Make sure that you follow in and you support your local residents by stopping into the Marengo Flea Market. They've got a lot of wonderful things. Paranormal Journey into the Unknown, Gavin Kelly and Paula Purcell, is still running on Amazon. Make sure that everybody there takes a look at them. They're great people. They look at things a little bit differently, investigation, and have a little bit of fun with it. They do a lot of big and local areas to kind of help support the local community, so it's a wonderful place to go. You're listening to Paranormal Truth and Reality. We're on with Lance Eberhardt. Lance has had a very unique story he's been sharing with us about his haunted occurrence with him and his family and how it progressed into something that's not exactly a fun situation that some of you out there can relate with, and others will be interested in learning that this is the way sometimes paranormal activity goes, and also the way sometimes investigations go sour. Lance, you were talking about your occurrences. Let's get into a little bit more detail here and talk about how we got to learn to live with these occurrences and how hopefully some of these occurrences began to end. So you identified things, obviously. It got worse. When did it start to improve?
It didn't start to improve until we knew exactly what we were dealing with. And also, after we did the things that Amy Allen told us to do, because when we went through the reveal on the show, all of a sudden everything started to make sense. And she gave us a laundry list of things to do. You know, one of the things that a lot of the people don't know about the show, The Dead Files, is that the reveal is not just a quick 10-minute, the quick 10 minutes that you see on the show. Our reveal literally lasted 4 hours. And when they filmed the reveal, they just set you there and they just roll the cameras and they let Amy go. She just talks. They don't stop filming. You know, they don't interrupt her, you know, unless there's something, a reason that she needs to be interrupted. And we only stopped filming twice during those 4 hours. And one of them was just because there was something that was said that made everybody laugh. And the other time was just because my wife had a breakdown. But when we knew what we were dealing with and it all started to make sense, and then it kind of gave us some ground that we could build on, and we could educate ourselves, and we could learn how to protect ourselves, and we learned how to do cleansings, and we've learned how to improve our mental state. So, and we learned how to keep things away from us and out of our house. So that's when things really started to improve. But that took time. We just didn't wake up one morning and just do all this stuff. It was a process. It was a process that took us about 6 months to perfect. And we still had to deal with some issues while we were educating and learning and doing things. And, you know, Amy says one thing on the show is that she said during the reveal on how we could get rid of this crazy lady, and she said, she's not going to want to go. Well, that was true. She did not want to go. It took quite a bit of effort from the medium and the Reiki master to get rid of her. I mean, she just didn't want to go silently into the night.
You know, that's a very good thing that you bring up, to a lot of people look at the negatives of the shows that are on TV, and Amy and a few other people, and I was just speaking with this with another gentleman, Jack Kenna, a little while back. I apologize, Jack, for using your name if you're listening, but I'm sure you won't mind in this instant. A lot of times people don't realize that, for instance, like with your review, a lot of these young teams, they come in and they don't understand that really in the end, it's all about helping the person, teaching you how to abolish these things that's in your life, teaching you how to deal with these situations because you can't afford to go somewhere else, and teaching you how to take control. And then at that point, teaching you the other avenues, like you mentioned, Reiki and so forth, that can help you in this process so that you can get rid of those things that are causing the issue. And that's a very important thing for everybody to understand during the process, because otherwise you end up with a team like you mentioned earlier. They go in, they think they know what they're doing, and they just ruin it.
They make it worse. And, you know, so you got to do your due diligence. You really got to ask those questions. And, you know, it may sound corny or stupid that you're asking these questions, but you got to understand, you don't understand what you're dealing with. And you're going to somebody and say, help me. I don't know what's going on, but I need to figure out what it is. And, you know, so it's a process. And then you have to deal with all those emotional scars that are left behind, you know, because it's a traumatic experience.
Absolutely. I could imagine it was incredibly traumatic for you because of having children and having a wife, especially when it started to react to the children and the wife, because you get a feeling of not being able to defend that. I know I have a child of my own. She had a paranormal occurrence one time that was partially my fault by accident. I didn't know how to deal with things and had to reach out to other people to teach me how to deal with things. But when you get put into that situation and you realize that your children and your wife and the people you love are in danger, a lot of times when you're the male of the house, it scares the crap out of you.
It does. You're exactly right. I mean, because, you know, everybody looks at the husband and the father as, okay, you're the one that's supposed to protect the family. And when you can't do it, you know, it's very frustrating. It creates a lot of anxiety. And, you know, you just want to do anything you possibly can to protect people. And, you know, so one, the best thing that we did was making that decision to be on that show, because it really improved our quality of life. And now having an understanding and educating ourselves. And I think one of the most important things that I've learned throughout this experience is, as human beings, for us to be as egotistical and naive at the same time, to think that we are the only thing in the universe, or we're the only thing on this planet, and we're the only dimension, that's insulting, because there's just so many. I just now see the world differently, and I think there's so many realms of things that are happening that science can't explain, and that we don't have the knowledge as human beings to even comprehend or understand now.
I just had a discussion actually with a quantum physicist that said that exact same thing, believe it or not. he spent many years in science, and he said as he's starting to study the quantum physics tables and relook at things, the reality is there are so many dimensions and so many things that are traveling at the same existence that we are, at the same moment that we are, that it's highly likely that there are billions and billions of things that we haven't even touched base on, nor can we even possibly comprehend. And when he said that, it just astounded me. I'm like, well, I would certainly agree with that.
And I think that there's a lot of people that are really in tune to what's going on around them. And, you know, it even changed my thinking on how you even look at certain people and certain individuals and the conditions that they have. You know, autistic people, autistic children in particular. Who's to say that, you know, maybe that their condition is just a part of the evolutionary process where they are so much more advanced than we are now. You know, we're the ones that are kind of illiterate and stupid, I guess, for lack of a better word. But they are maybe the ones of superior intelligence. And maybe we are the ones as individuals that are trying to catch up with them.
Well, then a lot I've met a lot of autistic children and autistic adults that are very intelligent, and the way they comprehend things a lot of times are amazing if you actually spend time with them.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I worked with a lady, and her son was autistic, and this kid could just do amazing things with his mind, and that's kind of what got me thinking. Is like, you know, maybe I'm the one that's naive, and you know, he's the one that's advanced.
Well, and you are correct. I've had that conversation many, many times when people are starting to talk about UFOs, and there are some people that believe that, hey, we're the only intelligent life in the universe. That's kind of a naive approach to think in general at all. That in my opinion, that'll get you killed.
Exactly.
That's a terrible way of saying it.
It's true. If you think that you are the only thing out there, that you're the biggest, baddest on the block, that's what's going to get you killed. Exactly.
So you've learned how to adjust, obviously. I'm assuming you're still in the home. I never asked that, but I would assume you're still in the home. And you've learned how to basically exile these things, tell them to go on their way, which is a great thing. And like you mentioned before, that's a process, because obviously after Dead Files left, the things were still in the home, I would assume, at this point.
Yes, absolutely. You know, it took some time to find these people. I mean, they're not in the yellow pages, you know. So it took a while to find people who we felt comfortable with, and to find people that were willing to come to our house. You know, we had some people that they were, you know, very professional. They would talk to us and they say, okay, what's going on? You know, and then we would explain to them, okay, well, we were on the show The Dead Files. Amy Allen said to contact you, a type of person like you. All of a sudden, when we said Amy's name, they were just like, oh, you know what? I don't think I can come out and help you. So I was just like, well, why not? And one Reiki master, she was very particular. She says, I don't think I'm strong enough to deal with what you're dealing with, and I have children. And I don't want to bring anything back with me.
Huh.
So it kind of gave, you know, I appreciated her honesty, but, you know, it was frustrating to try to find the people. And one thing I would recommend to people is, if you're looking for people, go find a very good, credible metaphysical store and go to talk to those folks, because odds are they'll know somebody. And what's the other great thing about it is that they're going to believe you.
Yeah, and there's a lot of doubt when you're talking about hauntings. If you have a situation like yourself and like several other people I've spoke to, there's so many people that doubt you, that they look at you strangely every time you mention it. And that's a sad thing, because really – when you reach out for help, people should be willing to do that.
and that was the thing that we had a hard time with. You know, your first instinct, just as, you know, a person, is, all right, let's go to our church. Uh-huh. And, you know, but, you know, they kind of, you know, dismiss everything. And you're just like, oh, my gosh, what do I do now? You know, you're kind of at the end of the rope. And I remember when the producer was talking to us about being on the show, and she made mention, she said, everything that you have experienced, everything that you say, is now going to become a part of the public eye. Are you ready to make yourself public? And we didn't hesitate. We were just to that point where if we don't do something, somebody's going to die.
Well, it is a tough thing, but I don't blame you personally for that. I think that was probably the wisest thing to do at this point. You'd already extended all avenues, so what's the worst that could happen?
Yeah, exactly.
It makes total sense to me. Being in the public eye does have its downfalls, obviously. You probably had a lot of people that doubted you at that point, a lot of people that wanted to contact you because they were just amazed with the story. It comes with its own problems. But when you've reached the end of your road, you don't really have anything to lose.
Right. And that was our thought process right there. You know, we're at a crossroads. Either we go public, we get help, we try this, you know, or we continue to suffer until somebody dies and or something worse happens. You know, so it was kind of a very easy decision for us because we were just to that point of we were at the end of our rope. We didn't know what else to do. And, you know, when you start throwing yourself out there to be on a TV show, you know, that can kind of raise some eyebrows too. And, you know, we've been very vocal about our experience, very open about it. We haven't shied away from questions. You know, there's going to be people that are going to criticize you, that are going to say you're lying or anything. And I had conversations with some of those people. And I always tell them, I say, you know what? It happened to us. Believe it or not, it can happen to you if you're not careful. And if you don't believe us, why don't you come spend the night at our house? No one's ever taken us up on that. As soon as you say that, that kind of shuts the people up. You know, a lot of the questions that we get are, how did you deal with this particular incident? What did you do to this? So a lot of the questions and comments that we have been very supportive comments and also very legitimately inquisitive, knowledgeable questions. People just want answers.
Well, a lot of people deal with the paranormal. It's culturally acceptable now because of television media and so forth. And a lot of people have had experiences throughout the years. And I think that opens it up to situations like yours where they just want to know if their experience was real. So the best way to do it is to ask people that obviously your experience was real. It's presented that way. You're not hiding anything, which is a good thing. Because if you were hiding something, then there would be something to look for. You know, I don't think people understand that a lot, even though we've all had them. You know, I think a good percentage of America at one point or another has had a paranormal experience they can't explain. It's just most people don't like to talk about it.
Yeah, you know what? I agree with that. And you mentioned something that I think that was really important is it's much more culturally accepted now than it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And, you know, but it kind of now has come to this point where it's just so commercialized that, you know, people don't have, I guess they're not shocked or in awe of what happens. It's kind of like they become numb to it. And I think that people now, some people, not everybody, but they invite this stuff to them without knowing what the consequences are going to be. Even to this day, you know, we are very careful who we allow into our house, you know, just because of we don't want any negativity. You know, if we don't feel right about that person, we're not going to invite them to our house, you know. Obviously, we don't mess with anything that would be negative spiritually. You know, no Ouija boards, nothing like that. We don't go around with our phones trying to catch voices or anything. We don't call anything out, you know. And one of the things that we also learn that we have a rule, if one person in our house says this is happening, we all believe it without question. And then we deal with it. And we figure out how to get rid of it.
Well, that's actually a good thing to close the show with. Listeners, while you're out there, understand that he mentioned a very good point. He mentioned the fact that the world right now, when you're talking about it being so open, is also very commercialized. And that's brought in two aspects. The first aspect is a lot of people aren't afraid of these things anymore. And you should understand that though it's less than 1% of the incidents across the world, you should be. you should understand that bringing negativity into your home, inviting these things into your home, and looking or searching is only for a particular few. And that's the people that are trained to do so. And that's a handful, really. That's a rare commodity, even though there's a lot of people that claim to be investigators. The other thing out there to realize is, as it gets commercialized, there's a lot of investigators out there that think they know. But if you were listening to the whole show, that can be dangerous on the person when you're going into the home. So when you're looking, if you have a situation, be very careful who you invite into your home. Do your research and don't be afraid to ask those questions, because it's important when you have an investigator come into your home that this is somebody that wants to take care of you. They don't think that they want to do it for fame. They don't think that they know what they're doing, and they just run through a cycle over and over and over again, because that can be a very dangerous thing. You've been listening to Paranormal Truth and Reality. Lance Eberhardt has been very kind to share his story with us today, and I appreciate that, Lance, very, very much. I was excited to have you on. I'm actually very honored to hear that your family got through it all right and you were willing to share that. You deserve a pat on the back for it. More people like yourself should come forward because it's a tough situation. In closing, before I actually close off the show, is there anything you'd like to just say in your last words to everybody?
The one thing that I want to say is, if you're dealing with something, get help. You know, don't hide behind, stereotypes. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of being judged. You know, go to a metaphysical store, talk to them. Those folks there are going to believe you. You know, don't be afraid to get help. But also make sure you're doing your due diligence. Make sure that you're venting the people that you bring in your home to help you. You know, if they say, well, we're going to want $500, turn and run.
You know, definitely.
So be very careful who you bring in. Don't suffer in silence. That is the thing, the big thing that I think I want to say. Don't suffer in silence. There's going to be people out there that are going to believe you. But if you don't get help, it's just going to get worse.
We will let you off of the show. It looks like we're running down to our last 30 seconds. Lance, I certainly appreciate you coming on. Everybody pay very close attention to him. In closing, always remember that in the paranormal, the real truth should be the reality, which is what you heard today. You've been listening to Paranormal Truth and Reality. Tune in next week. I've got a great guest. We'll cover that on our website. And have a good weekend.
All right, Chris, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Bye.